This episode is sponsored by the new documentary, Colleen Rooney, The Real Wagatha Story, streaming exclusively on Disney+. There have been many variations of the Wagatha saga, and now it's time to uncover her truth. In this three-part original series, Colleen will tell her story in her own words for the first time. Tune in to learn how Colleen figured out who was leaking her stories to the press, get an exclusive look at the trial, and discover unseen and unheard moments. If you'd like to dive even deeper, listen to our podcast, British Scandal, for an exclusive episode about the Wagatha saga on the 27th of October. Colleen Rooney, The Real Wagatha Story, an original series now streaming exclusively on Disney+.
Hello and welcome to Watch or Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. And by God, there is a lot of crap on Bravo that we are loving and happening right now. The schedule is insane. It's insane right now, Madison. What a week heading into BravoCon. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me, as always, is the wonderful and perfect Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, hello, Benuni Tunes. How's everything going with you?
Oh my God, it's so good. I'm caffeinated. It's such a big week. We have Miami premiering this week, like a top tier varsity level Real Housewives. It won our award, a very esteemed Bravo award, the Crappy for Best Show of the Year. It won for last season. So the new season starting up. Very excited. Bravo is giving us all the premium content this week. Intentionally, because BravoCon is this weekend and you're going to be there. It's going to be very exciting. Are you so excited to go to BravoCon?
I'm tired. I'm already tired. There's too many people. There's so much going on. I was looking over what's going on there. I was like, I'm not doing any of this, right? I don't think I'm doing any of it. I think I'm going to stay in my hotel room and play cards with whoever I see passing randomly in the hallway. So we'll see. But yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be a really good time.
I officially have FOMO. Like, I have now entered my FOMO phase. And I think normally I would have gotten a last minute ticket. But considering that I just have my appendix out, I just don't think it's smart for me to go to Las Vegas and stand around in lines. I need to be careful with my core at the moment. So I just can see myself getting into trouble. So I am going to stay here in Los Angeles. I am going to live with my FOMO, which is that's my normal state. I would actually be less comfortable if I didn't have FOMO. If I went there and didn't have FOMO, I would not be in my natural element. So it's actually good. This is how I enjoy celebrating BravoCon, by having FOMO here in LA.
Well, I have my FODs, as usual, my fear of doing shit. And so that's what I'm wrestling with right now. But yeah, it's going to be fun. I was trying to find some stuff to take to wear to it. And I shopped, and you know, really what I ended up was just Old Navy. A lot of Old Great. Navy stuff. So I'm excited to show that off. I've got like some Old Navy duds to work out. But otherwise, yeah, I'm kind of scared. It feels like a first day of school, except it's like the opposite of learning, right? Because it's Bravo. So it's not that. But, you know, I'm like, are people going to be mean to me?
No.
Or am I going to get excluded? You know, it's like that kind of thing. But I'm also excited because we know so many people who are going.
Yeah.
And I'm just used to hearing one phrase all weekend long. What are you doing here without Ben Rinda? Okay. And I say, Ben is a wuss. Ben wouldn't come.
Okay. I had my appendix.
Ben to come. He would not come.
I have my appendix out. Plus, Dom's family is going to be in town. So I don't want to ditch, you know, what's basically in-laws. So, you know.
Who's your real family? Bravo. Bravo is your real
Kate
family.
Kate Chastain. What am I saying? Of course. My real family is seeing, you know, like Teresa Giudice from afar.
Right. It's Sister Kate. Okay. And also, we've never really been in the position to get yelled at by actual Bravo people before, because whoever we've met has been kind of whoever's come to our shows or something like that where we don't think they're going to hit us. But we've never been in the Bravo zoo before where people that we've mocked are actually going to get to punch us in the face.
I know.
So that's going to be interesting too.
I would say watch out for Austin. Watch out for a surprise attack from Austin. But there's no such thing as a surprise attack from Austin, because you'll be like, is it raining and indoors? Oh no, it's just the saliva careening across the room because Austin just walked in.
My auto eye windshield wipers will go off because there will be spittle flying in my eyes from across the room.
So, it's,
but it's also Halloween, which is crazy.
Very
tomorrow's
scary.
Halloween, which is satanic. So I hope nobody is celebrating it. What are you dressing up as, Ben?
I'm going to dress up as all the things I dressed up as for the Halloween parties I went to this year, which is my normal clothes, because I don't get invited to Halloween parties. Halloween,
you know what I've decided?
Like, so Halloween, when you're younger, Halloween is a time for dress up and trick-or-treat and candy. Then when I was in my 20s and 30s, Halloween is a time for, like, getting drunk and partying with friends. Now, for me, Halloween is going on social media and looking at people going to parties I was not invited to. That is literally Halloween to me. And I'm not saying that in a poor me sort of way. To me, it's like a, oh, this is funny how life has become this way. Because, of course, I'm not getting invited to Halloween parties because I'm either here doing dinner parties with friends or playing board games. Like, that's not like the people who are throwing big Halloween parties.
For me, what Halloween has become is thinking about my binge eating disorder, because it's like the candy holiday of the year. So I'm like, you're thinking about M&Ms and it's okay. You know, so I that's my like inner dialogue. And then the, also it's the constant trying to hide from whatever children might be on the street.
Yes.
I have a clear glass door. That's glass. You know, I have a glass door, front door, and then I have windows all in the front living room. So I'm always avoiding that room. I'm like, oh God, don't let them see you, because if they see you, they're going to come ring the goddamn doorbell and you're going to have to hide, you know? And I don't want to be that crazy person on the street that's hiding from the kids and like can't even spring for a bag of Snickers. Because guess what? Usually I do buy the bag of Snickers and hardly anybody comes. Last year I ate the whole bag. And the year before that I ate the whole bag. So this year I didn't even buy any.
You just
so if they come this year, they're going to get an apple or a Werther's sugar-free.
Okay? Give them some
Werther's
shit.
Original sugar-free.
Give them, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give them like tins of anchovies. I'll give them like a very Brooklyn. Welcome to a very Brooklyn Halloween. You get anchovies and radishes, and then they'll never come
again.
I'll give
them some dried beans.
Yeah.
Like some garbanzos.
Well,
get some garbanzos, kids.
Well, it is a very spooky time of the year, and tomorrow, I think it's going to be tomorrow. I don't know. I don't know if we actually discussed this. I think it's tomorrow, Ronnie. We are going to be releasing a very spooky episode of Crappy Hour, because Crappy Hour is tonight. It's at 5:30 on the West Coast, 8:30 on the East Coast. It's on IG Live. Follow us at Watch What Crappens. You can also follow Ronnie at Ronnie Karam or me at Ben Mandelker. We do release those episodes later on the feed, unless there's a technical issue, which is always possible. We release those episodes, but you really want to be there live because you can actually interact with us. You can ask questions. You can we'll call you up, etc. There's a lot to talk about, including a bombshell, a quote-unquote bombshell article in Vanity Fair. I don't know if it's really that much of a bombshell.
Bomb. What a
it's
bomb.
More of a bomb than a bombshell. Guys, I don't know if you heard. People get drunk on The Real Housewives. This just in. People get drunk, and Bravo like encourages it. I cannot believe it. What a scandal. I'm so glad Vanity Fair blew the lid off of this.
You guys are going to be shocked at who has a complaint against Bravo. Leah McSweeney and Ebony.
And Bethany.
Wow.
And Bethany.
Wow. And Bethany.
Actually,
wow. You guys, I'm literally on the floor shocked. Again.
Ebony has the best quote of the article, but we'll discuss that tonight. That's a tease for Crappy Hour. And there's also a million other things to talk about. So we're going to be talking Bravo and all that stuff. So come join us for that for a very spooky Crappy Hour.
We're going to be talking about the Vanity Unfair article. Come for my Bravo bucks. Go do something else. Your Vanity Fair. Like, do something important. Tattletailing on adults drinking. Just
well, there's
take all the fun out of the world. Why don't you?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I mean, to be fair, there's more than just the drinking. So, we'll, you know, obviously there's
oh,
some
I'm not
very
being fair because I haven't even read it yet. I've just read like what people are
to be
saying
Vanity
about.
Fair. There's obviously some serious stuff in there too, but I have a lot of thoughts. So we're going to talk about that. I'm really excited to. But for today, you know, Ronnie, you said that you are going to have a fear of doing things at BravoCon. I'll tell you who else fear of doing shit. I'll tell you who else has a fear of doing shit. The current cast of Real Housewives of New York and their reunion, because...
Oh my God. Well, they sure can cry. Listen, if at first you don't succeed, cry some fucking more. Did we not just have an episode last week that was crying? You're supposed to cry the first week or the second week. You don't cry both weeks.
But also, did this have to be supersized again? Like, oh my God, this was just... This was agony. I mean, it was really, it was
agony
in the form.
Cut like a knife.
When you're watching Roni and questioning your life.
Agony. Also, I just wanted to tell you what I'm dressing up for as Halloween. Do you want to know?
Yes.
Because I made the effort to go get a costume this year. Okay. I don't always do it. But I really can never think of anybody inspiring. So I just want to dress as the only person that Kathy Hilton has really been rooting for the past couple of years. Oh. Michael Myers.
Technically, it's a mashup of Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees. But I get you.
Oh, you're right. This is Jason. Michael Myers doesn't wear a ski mask. Michael Myers wears like that.
He wears a William Shatner mask, actually. It really is William Shatner.
Well, you know what? I just wasted a damn dollar at the dollar
store. It's still good. It's still very worthy.
No, it's not. Who am I now? I'm some Jason... guy who plays hockey?
No, you're basically the Kyle Richards. Like if Michael Myers is Kathy Hilton, then Jason Voorhees is the Kyle Richards of like scary... Which, of course, makes Kim Richards probably Freddy Krueger.
Well, maybe Kathy would have dressed like Michael Myers, except Michael Myers failed to do the job, spoiler alert, because Kyle lived through all those movies. So
Michael Myers really lost some stock. Wait, you know what I'm dressing as? Hold on. Here's what I'm dressing as. My costume.
I can't believe I dressed as Jason and called him Michael Myers. What a loser. My costume. Jesus.
Okay, my costume. Can you hear me? Because I'm away from the microphone. Okay.
Yeah.
My costume, Bethany Frankel trying new hair dye. Oh my God. So, okay, hello, TikTok. Guess what? I tried new hair dye. It turned my hair green. Look at me. I got green hair right now. I got green hair. Don't use this. Okay, you know what? You heard about, I'm doing reality reckoning, and then after that, hair dye reckoning, because this is not right. My hair's green. I have black hair. That's kind of my thing. And now I got green hair. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, the scary boo. I'm scared. Okay, this is wrong.
You know what I'm trying right now? Lip gloss. I'm going to try this lip gloss, because it was very inexpensive at the TJ Maxx. By the way, I gave the TJ Maxx lady the candy wrapper of one of Brent's candies. She's lucky. You're welcome. You're welcome, TJ Maxx. Check out. Hold on. Let me try this lip gloss. This tastes sick. $2 for this lip gloss? Sick.
I went to Paris and here are all the things I hated. Croissants, French people, France. Okay, here I got another Bethany Frankel costume. Hold on. Here we go. Okay. Here's my new costume. Hi, I'm Bethany Frankel and I'm dressed. This tripod doesn't work. I put the tripod on my head. It's not working. How am I supposed to hold a camera on top of my head with this tripod? This is not...
You know what? You know what I'm going to try today? I'm going to try the new iPhone, the iPhone 15. You know what? Supposedly, this one's different. You know, for me, it's for cockta. Like, who knows? So there's like three holes this time. Three cameras, all right? So let's see this. It doesn't even taste good. This doesn't taste like anything. You know what tastes better than this? Samsung phones. Those are sick. This is out. iPhone out. Samsung in. That's it.
Okay, you know what I'm going to do? This is my costume. This is my Halloween costume. Okay, guess what? I'm a box of think... Okay? It's a box of think bars, okay? Because you know what? People need to think. If they're going to go on reality TV, they got to think. Because guess what? Bravo's not thinking when they're taking advantage of all poor people like Raquel Levis and Leah McSweeney. They're not thinking, okay? But guess what? I think, because I'm Bethany. You got to think if you're on Shark Tank, okay? Okay, how about it? I'm
and
a box.
Those bars used to be called Think Thin bars, but of course everybody got offended because that's the world we live in now. And you know what? Skinny's having the same problem. Skinny jeans, people don't want to wear them. So you know what I'm coming out with? I'm coming out with the keto diet. Everything's cheese, and it's going to be called Skinny Fat. That's it. Welcome to Halloween. All right, boo. Boo. Sick.
Well, now I'm blurry.
Your camera is refusing to do any more of this.
Okay, for Halloween? I'm dressing as a blurry person, okay? That's what it is. Because you know what? This life needs more focus. You need to be more focused. If you want to get ahead, you don't want to have a cheetah brand, this is what it has to be, okay? Be sharper. Be sharp. Oh, there I am. I'm sharp. Okay, now my Halloween costume's over. It's done. Okay, it's ruined.
Wow, you're trusting. You're like, yeah, I'll just wait for it to unblur. I'd like hit it or slap it or wipe it or put my thumb up to it. You're just like, I'll just chill. Little fix.
My camera was basically protesting this string of Bethany Frankel makeshift costumes and then said, fine, I'll focus.
All right. So if the past 13 minutes and 40 seconds of us doing absolutely nothing Real Housewives of New York related is any hint to you, Nothing fucking happens on this episode. I don't know why we're surprised, but something does towards the end. There's some like UBA stuff, but this is the biggest hint that you're in for a disaster of a reunion. Tonight on the dramatic conclusion of the Real Housewives of New York reunion. Sigh. Why are you always hungry? Get the fuck out of here with this. I don't care, okay? Bring a fucking fruit roll-up in your purse. Shut up. This is not a personality or a plot line.
How about Vanity Fair does an expose on why Bravo keeps trying to tell us that this is a dramatic conclusion and this reunion is good? That's where the lies are with Bravo. So we open up on, after all this bullshit about, why are you hungry, Sai? Jessel saying, you implied my husband is cheating on me because I'm not having sex with him. And Aaron's like, no, I did not. I did not.
No, I did not. I didn't. I didn't either. I didn't either.
No, we did not.
No, I didn't. Did we? Aaron, did we?
No.
Did we, Aaron?
No, absolutely not.
I didn't. Hi. Aaron didn't either.
You know, Aaron's voice, what's funny to me about Aaron's voice is she honks. You know when people say that they honk, like when humans honk, she honks, her voice honks. And I've been trying to honk like her, and I really can't honk like Aaron. It's very difficult.
This is how you honk. That's how Ben honks in traffic. Whenever Ben's really mad, he's like, I'm very mad. Somebody just cut me off in traffic.
No, now that I got a Kia. Well, because I lived in the world of Toyota Camrys and Subaru Legacies, where their horns were like, beep, 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 little page boys coming through with newspapers. But now I got a Kia SUV, and it's like, it's like Leon Locken, like, hey, hurry up over there.
Leon Locken is a horn. Yeah, she's like a semi-horn passing by. Fuck you!
So they're all denying that they implied that Jessel...
Yeah, by the way, Cy and Aaron, yes, of course you did. You fucking liars. Of course you implied it many, many times, multiple times, in multiple scenes. So then we see a clip of Aaron and Cy on the phone, and Aaron's saying, he's going to Vietnam for 24 hours. He's going to Vietnam.
24 hours?
You honk. On it. I can't do it.
Like, you know, like, way a goose honks? Like a...
He's going to Vietnam.
You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about, though. She does sort of honk, right?
Yeah, I've tried to get more of a grasp 20? On how she talks, but it's hard. Really hard. Yeah, 20. It's really hard.
And it's
so basic, hard, too, because she's just like this, but it's like...
She's like this, there but is her, like an there's like a nasal. Something there. There's like a nasal, like, what? So that's like her honking. So Andy's like, so, like, when you talked about your sex life, Jessel, did you talk about your postpartum struggles in the same conversation? And she's like, yes. And they're like, no. So then, of course, we see flashbacks, multiple flashbacks of Jessel bringing this up, you know, like when they asked her, like, why don't you have sex? And she's like, well, I'm self-conscious about my scar. And then there was like another scene where she's talking about it. And then Aaron's like, well, you didn't talk about it, not to the level you did in your confessionals. And like, when I watched it, I was like, holy shit. And like, I didn't know you were going through all that, which is like my favorite thing that on this show where it's all about like, open up, like, just ask her a question. When she says, oh yeah, I had C-section, whatever, all you have to do is just ask some questions of your friend, and maybe you might find out some stuff.
Well, they said, Sai said, why aren't you having sex? And she said, I don't know, because I'm self-conscious about my C-section scar. Is that not a good enough reason?
I know.
I have massive body insecurity after giving birth to two fucking humans.
Yeah.
How about that? Is that not enough insecurity? Okay. I'm insecurity from being the weight of somebody who had it or being X the weight of whatever it is. Who cares? If you have a body insecurity, you have a body insecurity. No one's right to question that. And how is that not opening up?
Yeah. So Aaron's like, well, I thought it was more of a playful thing. And Sai's like, yeah, you were never like, look, I'm really going through something emotionally and suffering from postpartum and all the rounds of IVF. And like, you know, if you would have come around to us instead of them, then like, that's okay. But you never once did that. You never once. It just was like, it's just like we're in like a rut. That's all you were saying. So like, because she didn't participate in the trauma Olympics, which she did try to participate in, but you just basically were like NBC and only focusing on, you know, swimming and gymnastics instead of ping pong and trampoline. Therefore, it's like What am I saying? Did I say I'm Catholic?
Well, I get where you're going, and it's I don't even the Toronto like Olympics is where you're going, but yeah, she's like judging. She's like one of the judges at the Olympics. You know, I wrote Trauma Log. Like she didn't. You would rather her Trauma Log have been directed better. Like she doesn't have a problem with the trauma. It's how the trauma was presented, and she should have made the Trauma Log more presentable to everybody else. She's like scoring her low on her Trauma Olympics.
It's more like she's like NBC. If I'm gonna see this metaphor through. She's like NBC, and she's like, they're only going to focus on our events, and we don't even care about your event, and therefore we don't care what you have to say. And like, if Jessel wanted her trauma to be a medalist, she should have enrolled in gymnastics. But like, Jessel's trauma is a different event. I'm done. I'm done with this.
Also, she couldn't have told you that you guys needed to lay off because she didn't know how much you were talking behind her back about it.
That's
she
true
didn't
too.
Find out until she watched the show and saw that you guys were making this whole plot line about her husband cheating on her. So she didn't really know. So she couldn't confront you about something that you guys hadn't said to her fucking face as much. You know what I mean?
But also, it doesn't take that much... you don't have to participate in the Trauma Olympics. It doesn't take that much emotional intelligence to look at someone who says, oh, my husband and I haven't had sex for a while. And just to think to yourself, like, wow, it sounds like they're in a rut, but maybe there's something else going on there. And to like, maybe like, if this is someone you care about, you ask a question instead of being like, what? You're not having sex? Like, he's going to leave you. Like, what? Like, if my husband didn't have sex with me, he would, like, ratify an amendment and go off with Abigail Adams.
So Jessel's like, you know, I didn't know what you were saying behind my back. And so I was like, but you can talk to us. We're your friends at the end of the day. You're her friends. Are you fucking kidding with this now? Cut to this could have been a conversation over the phone. And stop competing with my mom drama. Your uncle is not comparative to my mom.
Aaron's like, what did I say behind your back? Because Jessel's like, I didn't know you were saying all this stuff behind my back. And Aaron's like, what was I saying behind your back?
What I say.
Poverty is cheating in Vietnam. No, I didn't say he was cheating. I just said that he was going to Vietnam and implying he was hiring a sex worker. That's all.
And then we see a clip of David going, what would you say? Well, hey, Cy, what would you say if I said I was flying to Vietnam? And Cy goes, who the fuck are you fucking? And he goes, yeah, you hear that? Okay, so that's literally you caught in a lie. Aaron and Cy just sit there and lie with each other.
They do. They're like,
it makes me crazy. And they're never called out on it either, by the way.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens Come.
Watch What Crappens and Winter is Crappening are the funniest recap podcasts. But if you want something more eerie, try the new podcast, Ghost Story, about my investigation into a murder-suicide in my own family. Ghosts aren't real. At least, that's what I've always believed. Sure, odd things happened in my childhood bedroom. But ultimately, I shrugged it all off. That is, until a couple of years ago, when I discovered that every subsequent occupant of that house is convinced they've experienced something inexplicable too, including the most recent inhabitant who says she was visited at night by the ghost of a faceless woman. It just so happens that the alleged ghost haunting my childhood room might just be my wife's great-grandmother, who was murdered in the house next door by two gunshots to the face. Ghost Story, a podcast about family secrets, overwhelming coincidence, and the things that come back to haunt us. Follow Ghost Story on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
No. So Jessel's like, but you did imply it. And now Jaren's like, No, I didn't. Well, I'm not saying you. I'm saying Cy implied it. Stick to your guns, Jessel, because Aaron fucking implied it too. And there's plenty of hours where nothing happened besides that. So you can always call her out on it.
Andy's like, I want to put a pin in that. And by put a pin on it.
No, wait a minute. I just want to point out that first, like, this is the first time that she's admitted that it wasn't me. It was just Cy. So thank you for admitting that it wasn't me, whoever did it.
Okay, I'm going to put a pin in this. And by put a pin, I'm just going to end this. And we're never going to talk about it for the rest of the episode and therefore the rest of the season. So Jenna, hey, Jenna. Judy from Judytown said, at Brinsgiving, you kept insisting that Jessel's cackling hat comment is not that bad. You really believe that, or are you trying to defuse the situation since you are the one to stir the pot? So Jenna's like, so my father's British, and so it's like a common thing in Britain that people say cackling hag and stuff like that. So that's why I said it, because I was pretending to be British for a second. And Aaron's,
oh, really? Because, like, a lot of people have told me that it's not very common. So, like, and by a lot of people, I mean Abe and, like, four of our thirds.
It's like, Aaron, did you really do boots on the ground investigation about whether cackling hags was an offensive phrase?
I was like, is cackling hags a British thing? Like, really? What about clotted cream? Oh, wait, by the way, clotted cream is a British thing.
So, scones.
I've asked. I've done research.
And then Jessel goes, well, my mom calls me a hag, so it's not a big deal.
You and me both, sister. And Brynn's like, I have people like stopping me in my tweets. And they're like in London or whatever. I was like, they're stopping you in your tweets. I love that. Just Brynn's just walking along. They're like, ma'am, tweet, 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 tweet.
Hey. Yeah. Stopping her in the tweets, huh? Wow, it's crazy. Yeah.
They've been stopping my tweets or whatever, and they're saying it's not a thing. It's not a thing. People do not call each other cackling hags in London.
Well, hey, you know what else is not a thing? How good this cast is. Hey, you're engaged to a Brit. Did you ever hear that phrase, Brynn? And she goes, no, and confirmed. And like, I asked Gideon, and like, not only did he never hear of it, neither did his mother, Lady Stasia. I'm like, Lady Stasia, is Lady Stasia a real person, or is that just someone from like a YA novel? Because that does not sound like a real person.
That's funny because I wrote down Lady Stevia, so I don't know. That's how much I believe her.
So is it Stasi?
Just want to make sure everybody knows he's royalty. So,
Jessel's like, well, I mean, his mother's royalty. I mean, they wouldn't even say the word stupid. Stupid? You just said stupid? That's like so mean.
Listen, you're not an actual princess. You're just a princess. Okay, it doesn't count for you. So Andy's like, well, Pillow from On My Face Until This Season End says, you know, it seems like Jessel really went off the rails insulting Jenna's gift. Jenna, you let it go. So why did Sai take up the fight instead and get so offended? And Sai's like, you know, I could see in that moment how, like, much it upset Jenna and it pissed me off too, which I totally forgot about when I went after Jenna for being an asshole by giving us too many gifts earlier and not paying me for it later in the season. So.
And Jessel was like, well, you know, I don't really appreciate that. She's,
yeah, but she was like my sister in that moment.
Oh, so now she's your sister. Well, Sister Jenna, I didn't really realize we found another sister. Sister Sai.
Oh, I kind of thought the sister thing, I thought it was just sort of a nuclear family of two. Okay. So Jenna's like, I've never had like a sister or a friend aside from that girl from Schitt's Creek. And like, I didn't want you to feel hurt, but I also felt like, you know, they're sticking up for me. And like, it felt good. I'm like, sweet, defenseless Jenna Lyons, you know? And Jess is like, well, I don't even remember half of that. I think I was blacking out from the hideous nature of that piece of lingerie. So I very unaware of your emotions, just as you were very unaware of my body type. And to that, I say, sorry, Sister Jenna.
Listen, I'm like Parvit at a shot put. Very, very sorry, Sister Jenna.
Right. Well, Cackling from Cackling Hags says, what's up with Sai and Aaron? They get so upset with Jenna not sharing, and then they ask Jessel to share, and she does share, and then they make fun of her for sharing. Wow, what a season, am I right?
I would like to address this. I think the problem I was having understanding your stories is that they didn't seem like yours, Jessel. And like, I understand your family is your story, but like, I wanted to know about your upbringing and like how you grew up and what celebrities you colored books in nearby. And the other thing was that it was hard for me with all these girls would like talk and have these like hard upbringings. And then like, you know, you were like, I grew up with nothing. And then you're like, oh, but I had an internship and like, I got to live with my uncle. And it just was like, I just didn't understand.
Yeah, and I like that Aaron was also like, I'll address this. He asked you the question. So yeah. And also someone saying like, having an internship isn't hard upbringing. Have you ever done an internship? because they're not easy. I've done one. They were very, very, it was very difficult. And tough. If I want to cry about it, I fucking will.
I mean, believe it or not, I understand what Erin is saying here. I don't think that she's completely, like, you know, off base here. Jessel was being, I mean, her family is her story. And it was ridiculous that they were rolling their eyes at Jessel at that. But it is kind of funny when Jess was like, I had a hot upbringing too. When it sounds like she had a, not a lavish, wealthy upbringing, but she sort of had a, like, maybe a standard middle class upbringing or whatever. So, like, I get that. But it was just the way they were so dismissive of her instead of trying to ding her about, like, oh, you're trying to make it seem like you went through as hard of a time. Why don't you just listen to her and just hear her story?
So Jessel's like, well, first of all, I want to say I talk about my parents and where they come from because it informs my identity. I mean, it's my skin. It's my culture. So for you to be like, oh, in 1492, Jessel's parents came on the Mayflower, that's very offensive to me. You made fun. You belittled my story. And so I was like, stop saying that. Stop saying that. That's not it.
It is it. It's like literally on camera. And Andy's like, but that's how she felt. And it's, guess what? It's also what you did. Because you made fun of everything that she said and you judged it to be not traumatic enough.
Yeah.
You know, you're an asshole. And then Sy does the old, I apologize if that's how you felt. Well, you know, like watching it back, like it does seem like maybe we went a little crazy on Jessel. And then we see the clip of, we want to hear more about you.
You know, in that moment, she just kept on talking in circles to me. And, like, the math just wasn't mathing. Because remember, Andy, when you said that last episode, I'm going to use it now. So math just wasn't mathing for me at the time. And so, like, I just kept lashing out at her because, like, I was getting frustrated about something that was really didn't matter that much to me. So Jenna's like,
Andy's like, well, jeans from Blue are fine, except you've worn that before and it's a reunion. Says Jenna, what was your take on this whole thing? And Jenna's like, well, I mean, first of all, I mean, Sy, thank you so much for saying lashing out. You can get that available now on my website. They're for everybody, you know, whatever your skin tone or personality type, really, lashes. Am I right? Andy, what was the question?
I think that sometimes what happens is there's just like a disconnect of like not referencing or acknowledging the difference. And so it's like not about comparing, but it's about like someone is like talking about their uncle dying of alcoholism. And it's just like very different from like a mom or, you know, the girl from Schitt's Creek who I just referenced before. And it doesn't mean that you don't feel pain or sadness. It's just like the two things are different and like not being able to acknowledge that. And Uba's like, okay, do a disclaimer. Okay. Like I'm an African woman. We take our aunt and uncle, like literally our mom and dad. And Andy like doesn't care. Cause Andy hates, by the way, have you noticed that Andy does not like Uba? Like it's very clear that Andy hates Uba, right?
I don't know. I mean, I'm reading that. I think that Uba got on his nerves by just piping up and like making all these comments and trying to move the reunion too far ahead.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting, you know, because he's like, well, thank you for hinting at our last segment right in the beginning when we're trying to have our fun and game time.
Yeah.
You know? But I noticed that he's not following. He wasn't asking her any follow-up questions or any of that stuff last week. But then we finally get to that this week. But as far as this stuff goes, I don't like this. It's a kind of, as it went through the season, I really don't like how they judge everybody's trauma performances. It's really bothering me. Why don't you guys just start coursing out the trauma? Like a 5-course meal. They can have small traumas. They can be delivered first. Let's say like childhood poverty, okay, or parental divorce, brave migrations, okay? We can do that as starters. And then second, we can have family tragic deaths and parental addictions, okay? And then third can be parental deaths by tragic addictions, okay? That's like the big, big, huge one. And then Sy can present her trauma as the piece De Flaming Bananas Foster. Resistance! You've got it all, Sy! You win! You fucking win! Gratuities included. Please don't try and skip out on that shit.
Will there be a wine pairing? W-H-I-N-E. So Sy is like, she's like,
well, I didn't want to talk about my mom. And like, I was in a really bad place because my mom passed away and like just died months prior, which by the way, I like, that's a big deal.
Like I get that. And so Sy just saying it was like a terrible moment. And she's like, I understand you didn't mean any harm and you just wanted to connect with me. But in that moment, I just wanted to get away. And like, you know. And so then Jess was like, and I get that, and I'm sorry. I'm totally sorry. And then Brynn gets mad at Jessel for apologizing. And Brynn's like, why? Like, how are you the one that's ending up apologizing? She ripped your family apart. Like, Brynn's getting all upset now. And then Seth's like, oh, we were talking. You're not even in it. You're not even in it, Brynn. You're not even in it, Brynn.
And I just wrote, Aaron is blinking confused, because that's Aaron, you know. Every time they cut to Aaron, she's like, wow.
What? Cackling hags?
Cackling hags. And Jess was like, well, look, I know it's not apples to apples. And watching back, I realized it is her mother. And I don't want to compare it, because that's not my father to me. And I know it's not the same. I wasn't trying to do that. And so I was like, I know, I know. The point is, she was trying to say, I understand alcoholism because it was in my family too, and it's very painful. She was trying to reach you in a way, even though you had been an asshole to her constantly. And I think Jessel fumbled all over her trauma thing as yes. well. And it was a little cringy to watch it. You know, I said that at the time, but she was fumbling all over it because you guys were being such dicks to her and you were making her feel nervous, like she had to perform it, yeah. you know?
And let's be honest, I mean, you sort of have a high school thing going on here. And Jessel is not like a cool girl. Okay. But now she's in a group of cool girls and she has to play the part, but she has no idea what she's doing. So she's fumbling left and right and all the cool girls can see it. So they're like trying to like poke holes at her and like, you know, make everyone see that she is like Gretchen Wieners or something like that. So, hey, Wynn from the Willows says, hey, So, you told the women you lived off your savings while trying to make it in fashion. Who has savings at 20 years old? Where did you get savings? Doesn't that say privilege right there? So again, we're just trying to like nail Jessel on the privilege thing, which obviously she has privilege. So Jessel is like, no, I worked in college and I had savings. And my parents gave me savings too. That's all. I had nothing. And by the way, savings could be $5,000. $10,000, a banh mi sandwich. It doesn't mean I have a trust fund, just a lazy husband. Sorry, what were we talking about?
Yeah, and Sai's like, well, you're not supporting yourself in New York on $5,000, girl. I went to New York with $800. Did I sleep on the street? I sure did. Okay, I thought it was so fun. I was 18. But people do that, okay? And stop trying to win this.
Wait, also...
Sai, stop fucking trying to win.
And also the point is hilarious because she's based... I think Sai is trying to say you had more than $5,000 because you can't live off of $5,000. But right. Wouldn't that also be verifying if Jessa said I had $5,000 in my savings? And like, well, you can't live off of $5,000. Yeah. Isn't that the point? Isn't that the point that she had nothing to live off of and she had an internship and $5,000 and an uncle who was going through his own struggles? Like, that you're the one who just said, I had negative $420 in my bank account. And then she's like, I had $5,000. And you're saying, yeah, you can't live off of that. So you must be lying. It's like, I can't even, like, I can't. I literally can't. My walls are up. I can't with this
but
anymore.
But isn't she saying that she's not, she didn't, that that's a lie because there's no way she could have supported
yes,
herself on $5,000.
That's what she's saying. But also, though, she at the same time, she's sort of, like, if Jessel's saying, like, she is both, she's saying, no, you could not have lived in poverty because... She's basically saying you're lying because otherwise you would have been living in poverty. But then Jessel was saying, I was living off of nothing. Like Jessel was saying, I came to New York and I had nothing. And Sai is saying, well, you're lying because we have decided that you weren't living in poverty. So you're lying about having $5,000. The point is.
It's just nuts. And also, everybody who comes to New York is not rich. A lot of us poors travel to New York and we end up getting 5 jobs and trying to make it work for years at a time and decades at a time until we realize, why the fuck are we doing this? There are too many stairs in this town. Goodbye, you fucking ridiculous wreck of a difficult town. Okay. If I want to walk upstairs, I will do it in some place where someone's not going to try and push me down later and take my money.
I still think that like Sai had a very hard upbringing and it's like, you know, her stories are very sad and she did have to scrape by and she had negative $400. She had to do all those things. And you know, like good for her that she turned it around. And, but like, just because someone doesn't have a story of like hardship that's to that degree doesn't mean that the struggles that they went through are therefore not worthy of their experience, like of being talked about or like not worthy of it. Still could have, it still was hardship for that person, even if it wasn't as hard as what you went through. It doesn't mean therefore they get dismissed, you know?
Right. So, Aaron's like, yeah, but like you went to college. That's a privilege. And Jess says, yeah, and my parents started from scratch, is all I'm saying. And Aaron says, well, I get it, because my dad started from scratch in Israel, and we moved here. So, like, did you grow up poor? I'm just wondering. She didn't.
Well, why? Aaron, who is the most privileged of all of them, is, like, the one who's on Jessel's case about privilege the most. And it's like, but why? Like, again, it's like, why don't you just, like, listen to her story instead of trying to poke holes in it? Let us be the ones to poke holes in us. That's our job. You should just be listening.
So Jessel's like, well, we grew up comfortable, but not lavish. You know, I'm sorry. I hope that Pavitt's not watching that. Sometimes he thinks I'm saying lavash, and then he runs out into the street and starts judging flatbreads. But as privilege or no privilege, listen, I shouldn't be made to feel ashamed about how I grew up. I should be ashamed for having white, round furniture with twin children.
I should be ashamed for having an idiot husband who cares more about flatbread on the sidewalk than he does about putting our children into a good school.
I should be ashamed for having someone who didn't think it was worth the money to be rubbing shoulders with the little man who runs quickly in Mission Improbable movies.
So, Jess, we had a very simple upbringing, you know? So while you were at the ballet with Brad and Gwyneth, I was delivering newspapers with my mother. I'm like, I appreciate this new take on the Alex McCord classic.
I was delivering newspapers.
By the way, delivering newspapers? Are you in like a Tree Grows in Brooklyn? Like, what is this like newsies lifestyle that Jessel has a child with like a little page boy cap being like, hey, Mr. Gattacorta, got some new headlines, extra, extra, read all about it.
I'm sorry, did I say newspapers? I just meant news. I would go door to door and say, I'll be married to a man named Pavitt one day. I'm already ashamed. I'd like to apologize now.
I would go from door to door and be like, read all about it. Margaret Thatcher got some new shoes. Do you want to buy a copy of the paper?
Also, Aaron's like, what? How did I ever make you feel ashamed? What? I made you feel ashamed? What? When did we ever make you feel ashamed? You're both literally tearing down her story over and over again for weeks. What are you talking about? So Aaron goes, oh yeah, well, what did you know about my backstory? Like, what? My dad came from the Mayflower. And Brim was like, I was on the Mayflower because of my dress.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Okay, well, Scrub from Daddy says Aaron didn't like Bryn flirting with Abe, but now she's making negative insinuations about Jessel's marriage. Aaron, what's the difference between what you did and what Bryn did?
I'm sorry. Like, I was poking fun, and that wasn't funny. I genuinely don't think there's any issue in your marriage. I just think it's weird that he was going to Vietnam for a sandwich. Like, that's strange. Sorry. Like, to me, it's just like, who does that?
No, he loves food and being far away from our family. And honestly, we're happy to have him far away. The children have actually gotten smarter while he's been gone.
Yeah, but like for me, like, could you understand if Abe said, babe, I'm going to Thailand to get a pad thai and I'll be back? That would be weird. That would be weird, yeah. But if Abe said, listen, I got a flight to Thailand worth 9 zillion miles for $900 because of COVID, now we can take the family on vacation for free.
Yeah.
Fly first class. You know,
first class.
Sorry, that's how I fly. First class. We're about to fucking take off, you fucking idiots. All right. God damn it. We're going to get down this C word of a runway and we're going to throttle this bitch.
Well, you know, the thing is, maybe it would be weird if Abe did that only because Abe has stated on record.
Fasten your whore belt. Sorry, go ahead, man.
Wow, what a crass airline. No, but maybe it would be weird if Abe did that because Abe has admitted that if he didn't get sex for long enough time, he would actually cheat. So he is actually, he's actually expressed intention. Like he is basically like he's got a ticking clock till he's gonna cheat, so maybe it would be maybe it would say something. But I also like Andy goes, but isn't Pavitt like the president of the street food fried chicken committee of falafel and flatbread of New York City? Just was like, yes, it's mortifying if this is true. Yes.
So Andy's like, okay, well, Sad from Psy said Psy. I don't know why I said that. Oh, Sad from Psy said Psy. You accused Jessel of lying about Pavitt going to Vietnam when he just didn't have a ticket booked. Do you still think she was lying? And so I was like, well, she definitely said he was leaving last week and then he wasn't leaving. And at the moment it felt like a lie, but you know what? Maybe I was understanding. I don't know. Why am I still sitting here? Like,
but why were you so invested in the ticket thing? She's like, I was so invested. I apologize. And Bryn's like, you know, like pinpointing like every little thing and fact checking. I'll tell you who doesn't a pinpoint. Gideon, he's got a big dick. So Sai's like, you know what, Bryn? It's not your husband, okay? I'm talking to Jessel. I apologize, Jessel, but the Vietnam thing to me was very, very intriguing. I didn't understand it. Like, I'm watching it back. You didn't understand it, which made me even more invested in it. It is what it is. I'm so sorry. I don't want to mess up your marriage. I don't want to poke holes in your marriage. I apologize. I'm a bored woman who has nothing going on in her life, and this is the best thing that came along for me.
I love how Sai's apologies are even rude. She's like,
you know, I mean, like, then I realized how much you didn't even understand it. So, look, I'm not here to poke holes in your marriage, you know? Like, Pavitt is probably poking holes in pumpkins just to have something to fuck, am I right? But who am I to say that? You know, go for it.
Listen, I'm not like one of Pavitt's boba drinks. He doesn't. I'm not trying to poke holes to stick a straw in it, okay? I don't really care. I just was bored.
So, Jenna, you weren't even here for this stuff. Do you agree with Jessel that it was mean girl behavior?
And Jenna's like, well, you know, I could, I guess I could see, like, in her eyes how it maybe felt that way. And also, I mean, I do have a friend who flies for miles, so, like, it didn't seem that deep. Like, I didn't really, I mean, why am I here again? So, lashes.
By the way, Pavitt is becoming a little bit of a Miles influencer because he just did something with the Miles guy this week, which I just think it's Pavitt's little side journey on this just cracks me up. You know, like he actually came on to Crappy Hour the last episode, so it didn't make it on toward the episode we released on the feed. But in addition to Captain Lee, Pavitt also came on, and we were like, "So tell us about the Miles," and then he just like was like, "Yeah, so like you go to the Miles and the banh mi in Vietnam." It's actually like one of the best banh mi. So I like to go to the banh mi. And then afterwards, I like go to another restaurant and I have this amazing bún cha. And then, you know, you fly and like Emirates is the best and you get the full. And he just like goes and he's like so into it. It's like very adorable to me. Nerdy and adorable. Yep.
So next we ask if there's any hope for reconciliation between Aaron and Sai and Jessel. And so I was like, oh yeah, we've been going out. So yeah, we're already made up. And Jessel's like, yeah. There were highs and there were lows, but we understand each other now, Andy.
Great. Glad we have supersized this episode for this. So Andy's like, okay.
Well. Also, you know, I just want to share this with you because you're my bestie and I need to say it out loud to hold myself accountable. I really want to stop laughing like this. I don't know what that is. If I feel like Ben needs to know I'm laughing, because sometimes you know how you can laugh, not you personally, but I can laugh quietly. Like you'll be talking, I'll just be going. And to me, that's laughing, but I'm like, he probably thinks I'm just being quiet. And I think I just subconsciously started adding a. And I realized I was doing it and I've got to stop it. And now I can't stop it. I'm like a straw being pulled out of the cup very slowly. Like,
I like it because it means that like you are amused by something enough that you can't get all your air in.
I know, but I feel like it also sounds like I have a medical problem and I need to stop.
Listen, we all have medical problems, okay? You know what?
I literally do have medical problems. That is not it at the moment.
I am a walking medical problem. I'm literally a medical problem at the moment. I am post-op. So Andy's like, I'm gonna use this appendix thing for many, many weeks to come, just so everyone knows.
I'm glad you brought it. I don't know that anybody knew that you had that.
I am actually literally like, I am like a Roni new class storyline. Like, well, I have my appendix. Like, I would be like Emily Simpson new hip, which is not Roni at all. But you know, this is my thing.
It doesn't get resolved until the season finale. You're like, guys, and now I feel better. Cheers.
Just because I don't have an appendix doesn't mean I don't have a table of contents. Get it? Wordplay.
Listen, I may be missing my appendix, but that doesn't mean I can't be a dick.
I may be missing my appendix. Doesn't mean I'm not a lot to digest. I don't need toxic things, whether it's an appendix or people.
I got my appendix out, but you better be glad Juan Appendixon isn't here.
I'm going to work on my appendix tagline. So then Andy says,
so this season, no nonsense. Did it say no nonsense or no fascinating, interesting content?
No, Saya, no problem putting anyone in their place. She's a tough nut to crack.
And Uba's rolling her eyes.
You know, some nuts don't have to be cracked, by the way. You know, some nuts, you just see them on the street, on the sidewalk, and you say, there's a nut. I hope a squirrel enjoys it. So we get
Uba's rolling her eyes. And by the way, we're getting a lot of this from Uba during this reunion where she's letting it be known that she's pissed, but she's not really saying anything. And I don't know, she can't really win because sometimes I'm like, well, why are you just saying that and then not following up on it? So I get that she can't really win, but it's very funny because she's clearly rolling her eyes about the Psy segment. She's clearly pissed at Psy. But then later when they get to it, she's like, no, I love you. So I don't really understand. I still don't understand what we're aiming for.
Uba is in like level one improv and been given the prompt to be in a fight. And it's sort of like this formless thing where she's trying to kind of like find it, you know? So we see the whole thing about Psy's life. And I was like, that was sweet. And Andy is like, wow, that was really important what you just said with all that you've gone through, that you can find positivity in who your mom was. So it's the mom segment. And so Psy talks about growing up with her mom. It is heartbreaking. Like, say what you will about Psy. Like, that is a tough thing for someone to go through. So it's the whole thing about, like, her mom would get drunk. She would wait by the phone, wait for a police officer to call, say that she fell over in the park. And it was like having a child. And she didn't realize it until high school. And she would, as she got better, as Psy's career improved, she'd throw money at it, hoping it would improve. But it never would. But every time she was optimistic that it would improve. And by the way, this is, I'm condensing about 15 or 20 or 3 hours of content into like three sentences right here because it goes on.
Yeah, here's how I'm going to do it. It was so sad. Okay, so then we get to Andy's like, so Psy, you know what's interesting? When we announced the cast, people reacted negatively to there being an influencer, Andy. I know, an influencer. So what was your reaction to that? And how much did you get paid to have it for which brand?
So I'm sorry, I since we skipped over so much, I literally am scrolling just to find out where this question was. Wait, I will say this though, while I was scrolling, I forgot there was one funny moment in the middle of the trauma, which is Psy talking about how her mom was living with him and would get drunk in front of the kids and was awkward and everything. And so the kids would be like, oh, grandma's weird. And she said how her mom was a painter and her mom would like love to paint while Bob Ross is on. And then Aaron goes, ah, I love Bob Ross.
Love Bob.
Are you trying to get some points in the art world by announcing that you love Bob Ross as if that's like an original concept?
I feel like she saw a preview for the Owen Wilson movie and she's just going with that.
Is there an Owen Wilson movie about Bob Ross?
Yeah, he plays Bob Ross.
Wow.
You have to look it up. It's crazy. Love him. Love Owen too.
Love that.
So I was like, yeah, you know what? Influencers get a bad rap. Like, people don't get that it's a business. You know, we got deliverables, we got briefs, we pitch concepts like an advertising agency. You may have seen one with me in acid wash jeans and a crop top standing on my stoop in Brooklyn, right? That took months of pitching. Second step, third step, top of the stoop, leaning on a banister, sitting. Don Draper had it easy. And he had it easy, that lazy fuck.
Yeah, it's really, really hard. You know, you gotta spend a lot of time, you know, thinking like, am I gonna do a picture in the middle of the street? Am I gonna be on the sidewalk? What am I gonna do? Hold an umbrella? It takes 4 months to figure this stuff out.
But I also love that she's like, God, people think it's just taking a selfie. Every episode, you were like,
gotta take a selfie, gotta make the content, let's make a selfie.
So you're really just busting down those stereotypes as far as influencing go.
I don't think that anyone has a problem with necessarily the idea of influencers. The problem is that a lot of influencers lack personality. Not all of them, but a lot of them are just like Here I am wearing clothing. Here I am doing this. And the fact that Sai, as Sai describes it, they have to sit down, they have to plan it out, they come up with like a strategy, deliverables and posting, it is actually supporting the notion that everything we are seeing and following of this person is not really coming from a spontaneous or authentic place. It's all carefully planned and you're getting an artifice. So like, that's why we don't like it, because there's nothing interesting about it. It's just, we're just seeing a marketing plan. You know,
I'm not particularly interested in what anybody does. I mean, I didn't notice that we didn't know what Bryn did until way later into the season, because it became a controversy online with Bryn going after the Instagram influencer Bravo and Botox. when she came after them, and that's when it kind of became a thing where I was like, well, I guess we don't really know what she does. I don't care what people do. I don't need to see people at work.
I do.
I just care if they're entertaining, and you're not.
I care because it's a way, I want to know, like, there needs to be a way in. Like, because Bryn, to me, here's why I needed to know about Bryn.
I just mean, because, like, I don't mean that I don't need them to work. I just mean I'm not a job judger. You know what I mean?
I'm not a job judger.
An influencer naturally less than a lawyer.
I'm not a job judger either. But, like, Bryn, to me, like, she comes on and, like, she has this dramatic backstory. And then when she's not talking about that, then she's just like, and she's like talking about her money and this and that. And it doesn't make sense. I just need context. It's not like I'm like, I can't wait to find out what her story is. I can't wait to read an article on LinkedIn about Bryn. It's just, I need context on her. That's all. And the fact that there's so little context in so many of these people is, to me, speaks to the failure of the season. So, and I also want to say, I'm totally down to see influencers on TV because, hello, I was a huge, huge, huge fan of Real Girlfriends in Paris, which is all about silly influencers, vapid influencers. The show had barely any conflict. There was like some French fries and some wine wound up on a different influencer, which was excellent. One of the best fights we ever saw. But that show, like, that was hilarious because they were influencers. And so I felt like Bravo found the joy, found what was so funny about influencers on that show. But this, in this place, with Sai, no.
So Jenna jumps in with her defense of influencers. And she's like, you know, I'm just like, I'm in an industry where, you know, this comes up. So, I mean, influencer, like, there's a myriad of people who maybe call themselves influencers. But, I mean, they're not really influencers. I'm sorry if anybody knows anybody who maybe called themselves an influencer. I love when Jenna starts like Vogue talking, where she gets so like worked up with her shy act that she's just like pausing. Like,
But also like I loved this defense of Sai because it also reasserted the fact that Jenna was in a position of authority in fashion at a high level. She goes, I watched this group of people come up, and it like really reasserts that like she was up here on like a high level creative side and watched like these peons rise up a little bit to do whatever they're doing. And just like really reasserted that like Jenna is up here and Sai is way down here.
Right. You know, there's people who like actually make news and print newspapers. And then there are people like Jessel's mom who go around on bicycles and throw those newspapers at doorways. And, you know, one's not necessarily worse than the other. I don't know if I'm making a point right now.
By the way, Bravo, next season, please bring on Kelly Catrone. Bring her back. She is part of the Bravo family, Kel on Earth.
Did you see her? Are you going to bring up her influencer thing?
That's why, she's like, fuck influencers. She hates them.
What did she say? She said something like, she put a video. Didn't
it was a video.
Fashion Week or something. She put a video of somebody.
Wait, Kelly Catrone, influencers. It was just like so perfect. Okay. Here it is. I'm gonna hit it. I'm going to turn so we can hear it. Let me turn on my Safari so people can. Oh, I think they can. Okay, let's see if this works. Okay. It's on TikTok. Wisdom hot off the presses, hashtag Kelly Catrone. I'm pressing play. Okay. Oh, sorry, there's a pop-up. 1 second. Okay, of course. Okay, sorry everyone. It takes a moment. Okay, I'm pressing play. Hello, TikTok. Go.
Kelly, give me one thing that's in and one thing that's out this fashion week.
One thing that's in is the motherfucking truth.
Period.
One thing that's out is influencers.
Bye. See you later. That's
from why?
Tell me why.
I mean, what do they influence?
It's a good question.
It's a good question to ask.
You heard it here first. Kelly Catron.
Sorry.
I love that she ends with sorry. Like, you're talking to an influencer. That is so fucking funny to me that an influencer gets a little quip with Kelly. She's like, you know what the problem is in fashion? You fucking loser.
You know what's in? Peace and love. You know what's out? Fucking influencers.
But what do they influence? They literally have people buying your product. That is what influencers do, you silly.
Hey everyone, this is the end of part one, and keep an eye out on your podcast feeds because part two of this Roni reunion recap is coming up. Thanks everyone for being here. We'll catch you on part two. Bye!
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ruru LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.